Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, removing evil spirits. When Chris and Roseanne moved into their new home in Arkansas, they thought they were about to embark on a positive new chapter in the lives of their family. Little did they know, as they began getting settled in their home, they would slowly begin to realize that they may not be the only residents. Strange noises, unexplained sightings, and eventually, physical scratches began to reveal themselves to the family. Is this the ghost of a lost loved one? Or do Chris and Roseanne need something stronger? Do they need to remove an evil spirit from their home? Paranormal investigator Wesley Fox was called in to help identify and resolve this dark cloud that lingered over their family. Wesley Fox joins us today on The Grave Talks to discuss this case and what happened in the lives of this young couple.
Right off the top of my head is when they first moved into their house. They moved in, I think, when their youngest daughter was either just born or, you know, right around that same time, within a year. And it seems to me nothing was going on. It was all, you know, normal family, good family. Along the way, they started, you know, I think Chris lost his grandma, and that may have happened before or after. But I know as the daughter grew older, she started to kind of experience things like, you know, feeling the grandma, seeing the grandma, and started saying some of the stuff that the grandma would do, little songs and stuff that are, you know, she would have no business even knowing, and she started knowing these things out of the blue, and that's where I know Chris said he started noticing this stuff.
What do you think is going through the parents' minds at that moment, where you have a daughter that's talking about these things that otherwise she should have absolutely no knowledge of?
With Chris and Roseanne at that time, they were just kind of like, oh, kids being kids, kids saying things. But then when she starts doing the old time songs that, you know, that Chris's grandma used to do, to sing to Chris, that really made Chris kind of think a little bit. Okay, so maybe my grandma is around and she's seeing her.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think at the time, if I remember correctly, Chris and Roseanne wasn't real big believers in the paranormal, so they were just kind of, maybe, but probably not.
Sure.
But I know from the get-go, they were a very Christian-oriented family. They would always go church, you know. They were pretty strict Christians there, and they still are.
Mm-hmm.
But those were the early days, you know, nothing really major going on.
Just enough to raise some eyebrows.
Just enough to raise eyebrows. Things didn't start taking more of a sinister turn until they started getting the kids closer with church. You know, once, because they knew they had the two kids, they have Justin, which would be the oldest. And I think at the time we met them, I want to say he was 12 and she was 8 when we got involved with that case. I'm not going to say too much about, you know, my ex-partner because, you know, we are no longer working together.
Sure.
Obviously. So I don't want to say too much on her part about it because I don't want to get myself in trouble either way.
Sure. I just want to hear about the case and what went on. That's all.
But, to go back a little bit, when we didn't find this out until later, but when Roseanne was, I want to say she was 15 or 16, but I want to say 16. She started, you know, doing what a lot of young kids do and plays with the Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
Which at the time, you know, nothing major was happening. You know, when she was playing with it, it was, you know, just like a generally a teenager nowadays. It was just kind of a game to her, and you know, and after she'd play with it sometimes, things would move. She had her hair pulled at one point, which that's what scared her. And I think that's what kind of where she's like, okay, this is enough. I ain't doing this no more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she just kind of, you know, forgot all about it, stopped playing with the Ouija board, you know. Later on, met Chris, her and Chris got married, had the kids, you know, and she just kind of wiped that completely out of her mind until things started taking a sinister turn.
One of those things with a Ouija board where you play with it as a child, you think, okay, we had our fun, we're done. Not a whole lot happens beyond those couple things. And exactly that. You don't think anything of it. Is this a common thing where someone plays with the Ouija board at a younger age and then it's almost years later where essentially the repercussion of it makes itself more known?
I actually, it seems like it's pretty uncommon.
Okay.
But, I mean, I've seen like maybe once or twice now that's happened. But so to me, that's pretty not that common. Usually it seems to be the more common thread within about 6 months to a year.
Sure.
If something's going to happen, that seems to be the more common thread there.
And that's what I would say too. But it's interesting when you have something like this, it almost shows the power of what it has the possibility of doing.
When our involvement actually came with Chris and Roseanne Cupid case, things were starting to go on at the house. You know, they'd already experienced, like, I want to say Brittany was getting ready for school, mm-hmm. her and Justin, and Justin was in the bathroom, and Brittany starts to go towards the bathroom, say, hey, you know, Justin, you need to hurry up or whatever case may be. And she gets like in their hallway, and all of a sudden she hears these three heavy footsteps behind her, just bam, bam, bam. And then, of course, it stopped. And, of course, you know, the hair on the back of her neck starts standing up, and she gets really chilled and spooked. And she turns around, and nothing there. And, she, of course, that stirred her, and she took off running towards, I believe it was probably her mother and father's bedroom. I think Chris was, you know, just getting ready to go to work, so he just kind of pushed it aside at that point. Some other stuff was going on at that same time with them, which I talked, you know, more detail about it in the book I wrote about their case, Gilliver Schmeeble.
Mm-hmm.
But things got to the point where they're, okay, you know, and I know they had reached out to their church to see if maybe they would come in and do a blessing or something along those lines. And, you know, they wouldn't do it. They didn't believe him. They just kind of thought Chris and Roseanne were crazy.
When someone,
and that was their own church that they've been attending for, you know, quite some time.
And that's a disturbing thing to me, because we hear that quite often, and that quite often is something that people ask, who should we talk to? What should we, you know, talk about this with? And quite often the thought is, you know, your church. When you go to your church and you express this and you get met with what you're describing here of we don't believe you, or we don't think so, that what you're saying is actually going on. I mean, how do you handle that? How did they handle that then with their church? And do you have any more details on expressly like what they were saying to them when they're coming to them looking for help?
Well, yeah, I know Chris and Roseanne told their church, their minister, that, you know, that, hey, you know, we got something in our house that's scaring the kids.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what it is, but this is what's going on. And they talked about the footsteps. And I think at that time, Roseanne had an experience with a dark figure as well. And the church, you know, the guide basically just told them, you know, we don't believe you. I'm sorry. You know, these things are not really happening. It's your imagination, which is weird, because it's almost the exact same thing the church told my mom, you know, 30 years before that, when we had our experience.
How did your mom handle that when she was given that that response, or lack thereof response?
she went off,
yeah,
and told the preacher all about himself. it was pretty funny.
Well, but it's such a disheartening thing.
It is. And with Chris and Roseanne, I know it sent them into some, you know, further depression. They were sent into depression. They didn't know what to do. And, you know, they were just kind of beside yourself. And they happened to come, you know, that they let the kids stay with their grandmother for the weekend, get them away from the house. And then Chris and Roseanne just happened to escape up to Branson. Mm-hmm. And they drove by the ghost tour office. And they decided, you know what? It's just kind of weird. We're having some issues, but let's take a ghost tour.
Mm-hmm.
And originally, I remember I was not supposed to work that night. I was not the tour guide, but something happened. I think the other tour guide called and asked if I could do the tour because they wasn't feeling well. So I said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just so happened it was me and the ex-partner and then just Chris and Roseanne. So it was just a really small, just a personal tour.
Sure.
And, of course, as the tour went on, you know, they asked questions. And, you know, I didn't think too much about things for them until after the tour. I mean, we're talking to them after, you know, my actual business part was done. And so we're talking just one-on-one, and they start talking about these things going on at the house and said that they lived, you know, in Greenbrier, Arkansas, and that could we possibly come down and check it out sometime for them.
Mm-hmm.
We said, oh, yeah, you know, let's try to do it in 2 weeks because, you know, the next day I was leaving for a paranormal convention that I was speaking at down in Hot Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know, because, I mean, I wasn't familiar with Greenbrier at all, but as we were driving through the conference, you know, to Hot Springs from Branson, you drive right through Greenbrier, Arkansas. And I'm like, oh, hell, heck, you know, let me call these people. Let me call and see if I can hold Chris. So I end up calling Chris and saying, hey, you know, dude, we did not realize it, but if you guys are going to be back in Branson by Sunday, you know, on our way back through, we'll stop at your house then. And Chris was like, oh, yeah, we'll be there. So, you know, we went about the next day, went to conference on our way back through. You know, we got a hold of Chris. We met them somewhere in town, and they took us to their house. You know, not expecting doing an investigation while we were gone. We had very little equipment with us. You know, a couple of voice recorders, maybe a K2 meter, so not even a video camera, so we didn't have much.
Sure.
But we went in, and I know within being there just within a few minutes, I knew I had personally done four quick EVP sessions. And when I started my last one, I went into the master bedroom closet, one of the areas that Chris had talked about, you know, having some issues.
Sure.
And as soon as I opened that door, I mean, last I knew, the partner was behind me, and Chris was like on the other side of me. And as I opened the closet door, she was no longer to be seen. Chris was there. I'm like, okay, where'd she go? Come to find out, as soon as I'd opened that door, she had seen this dark figure come down at her. And it scared her so bad that she had to get out and take a couple quick breaths for a few minutes. So whatever it was, it scared the heck out of her.
Yeah.
By the time we got, you know, to the car, I'm looking over the recorder because, you know, I was going to plug it into the audio of the car and listen to it on the way home. I seen that there was 5 new recordings. So I'm like, okay, where's this 5th one?
Yeah.
So I turned it on, and it's just real quick, and it says, it was something that I couldn't understand, but I could hear 3 voices, and it's like in a different language. And I'm like, you know, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, I'd heard some Latin at that point, but not a lot. So I was thinking it might have been Latin, but I wanted to wait until we got home because we had about a 2-hour drive home, and talk to my son, Brandon, because Brandon had just taken Latin in high school. So I thought, well, maybe he will be able to translate this.
Sure.
Well, even as we're going, you know, on our way home, I go through some of the other recordings, and we have at least one other growl in there. And another voice that said for us to pray. And that was a female voice that said pray.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.